Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Daryl McEwen, publisher of the online Seven Stars newsletter, which tells about all things related to the Total Rewards program for Caesars Entertainment. Daryl's a recreational gambler, a former professional journalist, and is president of his own consulting firm that manages several small national and international trade associations and provides public relations and fundraising services for a number of charitable organizations. Daryl McEwen, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you.
So Daryl's actually in the studio today. We're taping a bit earlier. Today's, we've recently shifted to the 4 to 5 o'clock hour Tuesday afternoon. Today we're doing it early in the morning on Tuesday because all three of us are going to G2E, Global Gaming Expo, which is the largest trade show about gambling stuff in the world. So new machines, new uniforms, new surveillance cameras,
new table games.
Table games, ways advertise anything at all related to gaming is going to be on display. Now, I'm going to be looking primarily at machine games of skill. Now, in the past, that meant video poker. Pretty much end of list.
But this year, every article is about how they're bringing out, skill-based slot machines. So that's something we'll all be interested in, I'm sure, is to see what kind of skill-based slot machines they have come up with.
Exactly. Daryl, is that primarily the reason you were here, to look at those machines?
That and just in general, these new slot machines, the themes, the bonus games, the bells and whistles, the new cabinets. And also, I'm intrigued by this whole concept of the gaming floor of the future, if you will. And I think some of my readers would be interested in that as well.
Yeah, the other thing they're really trying to do is bring some kind of socialization to gambling. They think that'll get the young people in. But Jeff Wang, who's been on our show, had a really interesting article for The Motley Fool about how the problem with millennials is not that they're not interested in your dumb slot machines. It's that you've raised the hold on the games. And simple economics tells you that if you raise the price, you're going to get less buyers. So
that's true, and we'll actually use that. We'll be talking about it on Total Rewards, because Total Rewards definitely has raised the price,
yeah,
or lowered the benefits, whatever, however you want to choose that.
But the important thing is we're all going to G2E to see the models that work in the Shuffle Master booth.
There is a lot of TNA at the gaming show.
And if you want examples, every year Mike Shackelford posts pictures of him standing with them on his website.
Yeah, I cannot see how that strengthens his marriage. his wife's a lovely lady, and I just wouldn't. Okay, good. I certainly, Bonnie would not think that was funny if I did that. All right. Now, Daryl McEwen. Publishing the Seven Star Insider newsletter seems to be a task that requires a lot of work. There are some ads found there, but not many. Why did you decide to do this, and are you planning on continuing to provide the service?
Well, first, I would like to make it clear that I am not employed by Caesars Entertainment or any other casino gaming company. That seems to be a misconception after almost 8 years of doing this. Why did I do it? During my very first Seven Stars annual trip back in 2008, before they were called retreats, which I find an odd description of these casino visits, I learned the hard way that there was no comprehensive source or information about the Seven Stars program and its benefits. I was in Biloxi, Mississippi. That was when it was called the Grand Biloxi. I had probably one of the smallest rooms in the hotel, and while I faced the ocean, there were loud construction noises from what was supposed to become the now ill-fated Margaritaville Casino. No one seemed to know anything about the $500 folio credit that was included as part of my four-night complimentary stay, or for that matter, what it was supposed to include. So I spent probably the better part of my first full day sitting in my cramped room calling my host in Atlantic City, and then waiting for her to do some research to get back to me and the folks at the Grand Biloxi. So being a writer by trade, I decided to jot down my thoughts about what was happening, making particular note of what I would have done differently and what I would recommend to someone else who was taking one of these trips. I had launched some websites for a couple clients, so I knew that Google offered free websites, and out of the blue, I just came up with Seven Stars Insider. Turned out it was available, and I just started typing away at my laptop. So over the next few weeks and months, I started adding tips from other Seven Stars cardholders whom I would meet at casino-sponsored social functions. Several times during those early days, we discovered many of us were being told conflicting or inaccurate information. And so never did I think that it would turn into such a comprehensive site with a newsletter that some marketers estimate reaches about 10,000 readers a month. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure how people found out about the site or learned about the Seven Stars Insider. I did absolutely no promotion, except for talking about it when I met other Seven Stars. But soon it was coming up at the top of the Google searches if someone typed in Seven Stars. As to the amount of time it takes, I work on the newsletter periodically throughout the month. You can actually follow its progress each month by clicking on latest news at the top of the homepage. And when each news item is added, I note the date when it was posted. This was a suggestion from a reader, kind of put things in chronological order when I was posting them. As to the content of the newsletter, I discover items on my own, or I take them from personal experiences or the experiences of some of my friends. Plus, I have an informal network of players around the country who forward items of interest or send me questions. I would say on average I spend maybe 30 minutes a day, some days more, some days less, some days no time at all. And this includes responding to emails, which average about 100 a month. The revenue aspect was never really even a concern. Google offers a service whereby it places relevant ads, or at least according to their theory, relevant ads, in spaces that the website owner authorizes. I did it mainly to fill up space and to add some graphics to some of the pages to make them look more interesting. I get small deposits from Google based on the number of page views, but it's not significant. Monetizing the site was never really part of the original plan. Matter of fact, there never was a plan. The project just sort of took on a life of its own. In terms of the future, I have no plans to discontinue writing the newsletter or updating the website.
So do you send out a physical paper newsletter, or it's an email?
No, it's an email. It used to be basically just an email, and then some people were having a hard time, you know, reading it. So I just create a PDF, which I attach with the newsletter that I send out. And then it's also downloadable from the website as a PDF.
But if you go to the website, it sounds like you're kind of blogging about it. And if you just go and check your blog posts.
You can see most everything that's going to be in the next issue ahead of time. And this I started doing because, you know, there are sort of breaking news issues or something that
sure.
Seems silly to wait until, you know, October 1st when something happens on September 12th. And for instance, today I posted something about gift cards for the Great Gift Wrap-Up. And there were a lot of people who were concerned that was going to be dropped. And Caesars, I think, just yesterday perhaps made a decision, or at least publicly made it. So I put that information on the site. Now, that'll only be up for two days because the next newsletter will come out on Thursday, the 1st. But and not everything that you're going to see in the newsletter is on the site ahead of time. So it's mostly I try to stick to news items as opposed to some of the faux pas, if you will, that I publish.
Speaking of which, what gift cards will be available and at what rate?
There's some great offerings. I mean, I just did this morning, so I'm not sure I can remember, but Starbucks, Home Depot, Lowe's, Williams-Sonoma, the Pottery Barn. What else?
Will there be real rewards? In the past, there's also been real rewards.
I don't know about that. I haven't looked into that. I didn't see it. I checked a couple of days ago, and I don't know about that yet. The gift card thing was, I know, a concern from a lot of people who said, you know, we've just got enough coffee makers and panini makers and things, and we prefer the gift cards so we can spend things how we want. But I don't know about whether there'll be an option yet on that.
Do you know what the rate is?
I don't. I only know that the denomination, some of them are as low as $10, some 50. I think the max is 100. But what the actual rate will be, I don't know. I know that from memory now, they tend to increase every year. And I don't even recall what it was last year. I didn't participate last year. I couldn't get out here, so I lost my credits.
Do you have the ability to interact with Caesars? I mean, can you call them on the, do they know enough about you because of this that you can call them on the phone and say, hey, what's going on with this or that?
I have a great relationship with the gentleman who is the head of the Total Rewards Program, as I did with his predecessor who contacted me initially many, many years ago. And so, yeah, we have a very good dialogue, I think, sometimes a little heated. We don't obviously always disagree or agree or on a lot of things. But, if I'm seeing something out there that just doesn't quite seem right that people are posting, I will often, you know, email or contact somebody at Total Rewards, if not necessarily the head of the program, but I do know enough other people who I can go to get that information.
So Bob's question would be a real concern for our listeners, is what the rate will be. Mm-hmm. So that is something you would be able to email them, find out, and then post on your site.
Sure, I'm making a note of that right now, and we'll see if we can find something out in the next day or so.
Very good. Using a technical term, Caesars Entertainment is in deep doo-doo financially. The 7-star signature experience in 2015 are 5 times as expensive as they were in 2014 when they were already overpriced. Do you see other restrictions coming in 2016?
Well, yeah, first of all, Bob, you know, it's not exactly accurate when it comes to the 7-star signature experiences in terms of that 5 times. I mean, last year the credits, the signature experience credits, you know, were earned at a rate of 1 per every 50,000 tier credits. But in most instances, the value of each credit was considerably less than they are this year. This year, and this, get your notepads out here, after reaching 150,000 tier credits, the first credit comes at 250,000. But remember, earlier this year, Caesars gave each 7-stars cardholder 10,000 tier credits as a loyalty bonus. And depending on how many tier credits they earned during the first quarter, they could get up to 25,000 more tier credits. So assuming you earn the max winter tier bonus credit and the loyalty bonus, that's 35,000 tier credits added to 150,000, which is the base mart. And that's both your actual earned tier credits and anything you might have gotten from those daily
bonuses.
Wait,
why would you add that to 150? Why wouldn't you add that to 115 and make it 150 and stop?
In terms of... I'm just saying the math here. My point was going to be that you earn 65,000 more after you add all these bonuses, you get your base, and then you get your first signature experience credit, which is essentially worth about $500. Last year, at 200,000, you got the first credit, which was worth 500. You look at the airlines and you see how your frequent flyer miles have been devalued. I think it's just the reality of business. But, you know, going further, you know, to collect 2 signature credits, you need 250,000 more. But the value of 2 signature experience credits is much greater than what 2 was last year. So, you know, to say it's 5 times, I think, may be a bit misleading. That said, I simply don't see the value in earning any more than 150,000 tier credits in a calendar year. These experiences, I just don't think are worth the extra play. Just for example, a husband and wife or 2 friends, whatever, are better off independently earning 150,000 tier credits and each becoming 7 stars. you know, the value of those combined benefits far exceeds the benefits of earning 300,000 tier credits. And even if one of a pair earns 7 stars and the other plays just to 80,000, which is the diamond aspiration level 2, which is the, you know, 750 airfare and so forth, the value of those combined benefits also exceeds the benefits of one person earning 230,000 tier credits. So, I mean, for me, I just don't see it. I don't, you know, care about playing that much because I also participate in other player loyalty programs with other casinos. So, you know, to do everything, it's just, you know, out of my price range. But again, specifically as to future restrictions, I think the folks who manage Total Rewards are constantly learning and tweaking the benefits. I'm sure next year's program may have some differences, but you know, no one has shared them with me. But one of my biggest complaints, and it's related to this, is that we never know what we're going to get for our play until after the fact. You know, for example, the details of the benefits we'll get starting April 1st, 2016 should have been announced before the beginning of January 2015 when we started earning those points. That said, Caesars would be hard-pressed to drop the basics, as I call them, you know, the annual retreat, the $500 celebration dinner certificates, the quote-unquote guaranteed complimentary rooms, which really aren't guaranteed when you read the fine print. However, last year, you know, many players were angered to learn that one of the most popular signature events of the previous 2 years, that totally complimentary cruise for two, was dropped this year in favor of 4 weekend events held in various locations around the country. The annual gift was dropped, and it was replaced with a Samsung tablet that many players didn't need or want. And further, we're required to attend a specific renewal event in order to claim it. Admittedly, you know, some of the gifts from the past were pretty lame. Most people already had them. But at least you could choose something of your own liking or to give as a gift, and you could do so in the comfort of your own home and then have it delivered right to your door. So those are the two big changes, and what's going to happen next year is anybody's guess.
Well, last year you could redeem, you could trade in your slot club points for free play at an 80% rate. Another way to say it is 1,250 of free play will get you $1,000. 1,250 of comps will get you the $1,000 of free play. This year it's 500.
You mean 1,250 will get you 500?
No, 625 will get you 500. But it's, there's a limit of 500 per day. So it's likely, it's more likely they'll tighten up than they'll loosen up, apparently, given their bankruptcy problems. So players probably should redeem while they can.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to what the redemption ratio will be next year. It may not change. I don't know. I mean, it's a popular benefit. And, you know, I think Total Rewards, like, or Caesars Entertainment, whatever you want to call it, like any company, has got to be careful that it changes the programs too drastically from year to year, or it's just going to antagonize a lot of people, and they already have. You know, I know a lot of people tell me, well, gee, I'm not going to do 7 stars next year or whatever. How many follows through on that, or whether it's just a statement, is tough to know. But what will happen, I honestly, I can't say.
Now, there recently been a change in management at Caesars. Gary Loveman is no longer the guy in charge, although he's not totally gone away. Now, whenever new management comes in to financially strap businesses, first thing they do is cut costs. Now, that means tighter pay schedules on machines, smaller Theos granted on machines, lesser offers in the mail, smaller amenity packages for the guests, fewer housekeeping and maintenance staff, etc. Short-term, casinos' bottom line increases. Long-term, players notice a severe decrease in the playability of the property. To me, this is happening at Caesars. Do you see this, or is this my imagination?
No. It's a tough question to answer in some respects because of the nature of the casino business. Have I noticed a lower standard of housekeeping and overall maintenance? Certainly. Have prices increased in the restaurants? Definitely, and in some cases drastically, at least in Atlantic City. If you're asking if machines are paying off less, yeah, it's difficult to judge because of the randomness built into the machine. Now, keep in mind, I'm a dumb slot machine player, not a video poker player, and I know that's what most of your listeners play. You know, I've had like all of us, great nights of play and not so great nights. But I've experienced that for years, and not only at Caesars Properties, but you know, at every casino I've played in. Going back a little bit on part of your question about the exchanging comp dollars for free play, I haven't done it, and I've got a lot of comp dollars. It's an individual decision. I'm not saying I won't do it, but it probably won't have anything to do with the bankruptcy. I've been through a couple airline bankruptcies, and I never lost a frequent flyer mile and didn't lose anything during the Trump or Revel casino bankruptcies in Atlantic City. So, yes, I may cash in some comps later this year solely because I simply can't spend them all and can't eat that many meals or get that many massages in the spas.
Yeah. As for the it seems to me this has been going on for quite a few years. I mean, I definitely noticed the deterioration of the upkeep of the rooms. And last time I stayed at the Rio, which was a couple of years ago, I mean, it was really pretty pathetic. I mean, there was sort of chipped plaster in the bathroom that hadn't been fixed, and the carpet was worn and torn, and it was really kind of sad to see how far downhill, because the Rio used to be a nice place. Of course, that was mostly before Caesars took it over, but
well, there was something. For instance, Caesars Palace used to do turn down service as a regular benefit for Seven Stars card holders. There were robes in the rooms and chocolates and so forth. That's all gone away. I looked into this, because it was that, for instance, on the robes, people just weren't using them. So they were having to constantly replace them. So some of these decisions were business decisions, which I can respect.
But they also added so many fees, right?
Yes.
Like early check-in fee, I don't know.
I haven't noticed that lately. They were doing that for a while. In Atlantic City, they were actually charging if you wanted an additional coffee packet.
Last time I was at the Rio, you had to pay for the Keurig cups.
The same at Caesars. But I'm saying in Atlantic City, where they just have the old regular coffee makers, where they would give you a bag with, decaf, and regularly would make two or three cups. If you wanted additional, there was a sign there that said, these are available for purchase through a vending machine on your floor. That went away. Yeah. And I believe the early check-in thing also. I mean, that seemed a little silly. If the rooms are ready and you've got these lines of people, which I did witness when this was first instituted in Atlantic City, waiting for 4 o'clock, and it's such an overload on your front desk staff and everything else, why wouldn't you want to get those guests into the room earlier if the rooms are already available,
Yeah.
So some of these, I think, were experiments. They probably sounded like a good idea in a management meeting, but fortunately they've gone away.
Well, on the coffee packets, you can easily get around that if you have a understanding with your
maid.
Sure.
That's what
bribes are for. Yeah. They are very responsive to that.
Well, and also in the Keurig situation, I haven't run into that other than Caesar's Palace, and I haven't stayed at the Rio in a long time. And I know at Harrah's Gulf Coast, the old Grand Biloxi, which I referred to earlier, they have the Keurig machines, if not in all rooms, at least in the suites. And the simple solution there is, and I have a little tip on my website, is just if you've got a Keurig machine at home, bring some if you're a coffee drinker and you just have to have that coffee first thing in the morning, just bring your own little pods, stick them in your suitcase, then pay, I don't know what the current rate is. At one point it was something like $12 for 5 pods or something like that. So you're paying for that convenience. But bring your own.
Now, hosts have been stripped of a lot of powers at Caesars Properties. All they do now basically is make reservations.
They have no discretion?
They have little discretion, and it depends on the host. But I'm not sure why they even have hosts for less than 7 stars customers.
Yeah, I also write a column for the Atlantic City Weekly, and I'm working on a piece about that right now because I've also noticed that, obviously. So at the risk of offending any hosts who may be listening, I also sometimes question why we need them. Frankly, unless I have to rely on a host to book a special offer, such as the annual retreat, I prefer to go online, just make my own reservations, register for giveaways, whatever. Since I'm self-employed and basically semi-retired, I often make decisions at the last minute on whether I'm going to go down to Atlantic City. And I keep talking about Atlantic City because I live 90 minutes away from there. So that's my go-to place for gaming.
My condolences.
I have fun down there. You know, it could be my host's day off, or even if he or she is working, it still means a call or an email inquiring about availability and waiting for a response. You know, the Total Rewards website, you know, one good thing about it is you can book a room and have a written confirmation in less than 5 minutes. You know, on the other hand, there are times when a host might be able to book a room during a particularly busy time. You know, I know Miss America was popular in Atlantic City, and it was tough to get rooms some years. They might be able to squeeze me into a function that's already technically booked. Recently, a nice experience, it was at a non-Caesars property, the casino was giving gift cards, and it was like 4 o'clock that afternoon. I was ready to leave around noon to go back, and I contacted my host, and he was kind enough to get them to release a gift card for me, and not only that, but increase the value than what I was originally planned. So that was a nice benefit of having a host. At another casino, again, not a Caesars casino, your play from a previous month earns you a gift of some sort. And it was a pretty substantial gift because I guess I had played more that previous month. But it was only being distributed on a certain weekend, and I was going to be away that weekend. And I contacted my host. I could have made the trip down there to pick it up, but I said, "Gee, you know, tell me a little bit more about it. Is it really worth it? Whatever." And he just offered and said, "Well, why don't I just put one aside for you? You can pick it up next time you're here." I mean, that was a really nice gesture. Again, something I didn't ask for, but to me, those are things that hosts can do to enhance your.
But again, both your examples were not Caesar's properties.
You can do this. And the third one that I tell everybody about is I have a host at the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City. Calls me every year on my birthday, whether it's a weekend or whatever day it falls. You know, it's a silly thing, but when I look at my cell phone, I see who's calling. I think, oh, that's Alan calling me to wish me happy birthday, and you know, and it gives me kind of warm, fuzzy feeling inside about that particular casino. So those are things that you know that hosts. Really should be doing more of. It's you know, cultivating relationships and not just acting as private secretaries. I think, you know, for some players, calling a host and saying, you know, make me a room reservation or make me a dinner reservation is kind of an ego thing. I just don't feel it's necessary. The most valuable time that I enjoy with a casino host is when we're sitting down in their office, or we happen to meet each other in the lobby of the hotel or something, and just have a nice informal conversation. How you doing? How you feeling? What's going on? How's the family? All that kind of stuff. And that's, I think, the hosts are so burdened with so many customers assigned to them, and doing all these tasks. It doesn't give them the opportunity to really get to know their customers or see how they could be better for both parts.
In my own case, I hate dealing with hosts, and I really hate them calling me on the phone, and I tell them, you know, do not call me. Just send me emails. I would much rather
you get phone calls from hosts. Wow.
Yeah, actually, but as I say, I I'd prefer to never actually meet them in person because, you know, I don't want them to put a face with a name because the next time they see me, I may have a different name. You know, so,
well, yeah, there's a part of me that feels similarly, Richard, because to me it's like having somebody look over my shoulder, and you know, I know that they're not checking. You know, they have too many other people to worry about. They're not checking to see how much the Daryl spend this trip, but there is a feeling of, you know, kind of looking over my shoulder and that somebody's
keeping track of. I didn't play enough yet.
I was told that a couple of years ago. It was something I didn't ask for, but it was a New Year's Eve, an option of a party or going to one of the restaurants for dinner. And I just don't really enjoy those big gala functions and parties and stuff. So I was just calling to find out about the dinner reservation, because that was one of those things that had to be booked through the host. And she said, "Well, gee, you know, on September 11th, you were only here for 10 minutes, and you played this, and then on September 1st, And I'm thinking, what? You're down to that, you know, minuscule keeping track. And it wasn't, you know, as I said, I wasn't asking for the, you know, and she said, well, maybe I can use your play. I said, I don't really want to go to the gala dinner dance. I want to just go to the dinner, which is what I've apparently qualified for, and that'll be sufficient. So, but that made me a little suspicious when I was starting to quote the number of minutes that I had played on certain days. I just was a little irritated by that.
I have a different point of view than both of you, I guess. Hosts across properties, Caesars and non-Caesars, if they can't bring me an extra 10 to 20,000 over what I could get for myself, I'm looking for another host. And hosts are extremely valuable to a player's bottom line. The care and feeding of a slot host is a very useful art to have. A host can get you a lot. If you're not afraid to ask, hosts don't work for free. The giving a host a gift periodically is recommended. You have different reasons for not wanting to work the host system, but if you're in video poker anyway, where they already know your name and face, hosts are extremely useful.
But you're saying at Caesars they can no longer do anything for you.
I said nothing of the kind. I was asking him the question. Some hosts do have more powers than others. Some hosts are better at working the system than others.
Okay.
If a host is useless, get a different host.
Well, I might add, too, I think also it's has something to do with the location of the casinos. And when you're in a competitive area, for instance, Atlantic City or down in Biloxi, where you've got several casinos, perhaps out here in Las Vegas, I think that the competitive issue, if they're afraid they're going to lose that play to another casino, they might. But I think, again, I can't speak specifically for Caesars, but my understanding is that the word has come down is, you know, you use your reward credits first, and then we'll look at comping. Anything else. I mean, people have been flat out told that.
Well, which is a good reason to use your reward credits. So you turn it into $500 a day or go to whatever it takes to get your reward credits down to zero and then see if the host can do something. If you have a balance of reward credits, well, then you're tying the hands of this host. But if you have a zero balance, and you particularly ask them on the trips where you lost. Let's say you lost $10,000. Now the next trip, you know, if you're playing the right game, the next trip you're going to win. And so you're coming out close to even over the year. But if you have a zero balance and you ask for these big favors when you lose, you're likely to get them. This adds up.
Yeah, I just think going to the well too often, though, is going to also result in it, you're going to be told no more frequently. I think they're going to look at this and they're going to say, well, gee, so-and-so, you know, went and bought a bunch of stuff in the gift shop to reduce the reward credits, or they converted it to slot play. And, you know, what are you going to do? You've got a big long weekend, let's say, in Atlantic City, to use my example, and, you know, you've run up a huge bill eating in the casino restaurants and signing into your room, and then you find out, then they say no. When you've got comps at other places you could have gone. I mean, I don't play exclusively at Caesars. I have options like the Borgata and Resorts and Golden Nugget. So I wouldn't want to take a chance. I mean, I always hated, and I think Wynn still does it, MGM used to, where they would, you know, invite you to come here for 3 or 4 days and throw some free play and a couple of buffets and say, we'll charge everything else to your room and we'll evaluate your play at the end of your stay. Well, to me, I dreaded that last day of going. It was like going to the principal's office and begging. I mean, that's just not in my psyche. I mean, what I like about Total Rewards and with M Life is you earn points based on a certain formula, and you use them however you see fit. And if you get something extra, fine. But I wouldn't depend on it.
If you have a good relationship with your host, you know going in what you're going to be able to get. And if you don't know, get a different host. All right, let's move on. Going to the Diamond Lounge, does that trip you anywhere?
My understanding is, and I looked into this several months ago when I saw a lot of chatter, or whatever the technical term is, on some of these message boards about what trips you and what doesn't. And basically, if I interpret it right, I was told that unless you're actually staying in the casino, using a comp room, earning free play, picking up a free play off or something like that, those are days when you're tripped. But if you go to the Diamond Lounge with no play that day, if you go buy something in the gift shop with reward credits, you're not going to be tripped. The same thing, I read a number of people saying how they were supposedly getting around being tripped on the morning of their checkout day at the hotel. Again, checking out of the hotel does not trip you for that day.
It does at some properties.
Well, I'm talking about Caesar's properties. I can only.
Yeah, it does at some Caesar's properties.
Well, it's not supposed to. Unless you have decided, before you leave that you play a little bit, and then you're going to. But if it shows some play or you've picked up some free play and you play that, then yes, you will on your last day. But again, my sources tell me that if there's no play involved and you're simply, it's just the last day of your visit and you're checking out and you've. There's no play involved yet. That's not considered a day for the trip.
Well, a lot of players find it better if they check out at 5 a.m. when the casino day starts at 6.
Well, all I know is that some of the people I talked to at Caesars were basically just kind of laughed at that and thought, well, okay, if they want to do that, that's fine, but it doesn't matter if they check out at 6:01.
Well, unless you stay one day, right? Because
they regularly trip you 2 days at some properties.
Even if you only stay one.
Even if you stay 10 minutes, they'll trip you.
Well, yeah, because a lot of offers are, at least in Las Vegas, are contingent upon a stay. If you want to get 2 free tickets to Celine Dion at that offer, it'll say it must include a 2-night stay. That's
all right.
A little different, yeah.
Presumably, manager level of employees at Caesars Entertainment monitor your newsletter and possibly this podcast as well. Sorry, Richard.
Now, it's fine with me.
Does that bother you? Does that flatter you? Does that excite you? How do you feel about that?
Well, it doesn't bother me. And yes, you mentioned flattered. Several years ago, I was invited to the New York launch party for the quote unquote new Total Rewards. Remember when they got the new logo and they made a lot of changes to the program. I had been told that Gary Loveman, who was going to be there, he was going to be at that event, reads a 7 Stars Insider and wanted to meet me. I was a little skeptical, but I thought, well, but so I went. I introduced myself. It was easier for me to find him than for him to find me. And he genuinely seemed to be familiar with me in the newsletter. As I said earlier, I work very closely with the current vice president who's in charge of Total Rewards, as I did with his predecessor. I don't feel that this in any way compromises my objectivity. Certainly, if you read what I write, you'll know that I'm just as likely to be critical of something as I am to promote something that Caesars does. And while I can't speak for him, I think it's a win-win for players and for Total Rewards. If I can help interpret some aspects of the program so players better understand it, it's better for everyone. I'm sure, lawyers vet the wording and for stuff, and it sometimes they're. Wording is very confusing about what some of these benefits are. So that said, we certainly had our disagreements and differences over elements of the 7 Stars program. But in the end, we have a mutual respect, and we often engage in some lively discussions and email exchanges over each other's thoughts and opinions on a lot of these issues.
Definitely valuable to have their ear. I mean, that seems like a great thing. So
it does. Home casino. If you play at Caesars, one casino is your home casino. What if you'd rather a different casino were your home casino to get a different package of benefits? How do you go about this?
I asked about this a couple years ago because I, my entire time being 7 Stars, was assigned to Atlantic City, to Caesars in Atlantic City. Caesars opened the Harrah's Philadelphia. It was originally called Harrah's Chester. It's in Chester, Pennsylvania. Because it was so close, especially in the first couple months, I was spending way too much time there. But because it is so close, I'm often near there, and they're offering, free plays and juicers and all this kind of whatever. I'm exaggerating that. You know, I was finding that I was making more visits there. And so consequently, I was flipped a couple of years ago to Harrah's Philadelphia as my home property. I wasn't real happy about that from some aspects, just as you mentioned, Bob, you know, some of the benefits were not nearly as good as they were in Atlantic City. So when I started asking about it, you know, I was told it has nothing to do with the amount of play you put through at the casino, because I still, to this day, even though I'm assigned at Harrah's Philadelphia, the majority of my play is at Caesars in Atlantic City. And I asked about if there's a way to change it, and there really isn't. You're assigned based on the number of trips you make, not on anything else. And if you want to change it, as far as I know, there's no way to do this.
But you said you make more trips to the Harrah's Atlantic City. Why wouldn't that be your
No, I don't make more. I spend more money at Harrah's.
Caesar's, but you make more trips.
But I make more. And it's based on the number of visits you make during a calendar. Or I know it's a calendar year. I don't know when they
you have to just stop going to Chester.
Well, but, you know, it's close, you know, and if they're offering me some decent offers, again, you know, I different from your other listeners. I mean, I'm a slot player. There are times when I can go in there and they'll offer me $50 or $100. I might walk out of there with $500, you know. So, you know, to me, it's worth it. I'm not as concerned about Theo's and ADT's and all this kind of stuff as a lot of people are. And for me, it's fun. It's a hobby like you know, gardening or traveling or something like that. So I'm not as serious about it.
I'm definitely concerned with Theo's and ADT and going in and picking up a $50 free play.
Yeah. Theo to me was one of Bill Cosby's sons on his television show. You know.
And if the host can give me airfare. That's when I want to know that too.
Yeah, can you get airfare when you go to Harrah's Chester?
It's a short flight, but I'm sure they would consider it.
All right, now reading your newsletter, it seems like you were a copy editor in real life, and you're a real nitpicker in terms of typos and things like that. In the Caesars mail. Is this, can you turn this on and off, or is this just a blessing that comes with your, with who you are?
It's ingrained. I mean, I could no longer put the number 5 in a sentence rather than spelling it out, or use the number 10 rather than. There are just certain style rules that it was ingrained in me. I was a journalism major in college, and I was editor of my university student newspaper. I've worked in some form of communication, you know, all of my professional life. Even when I was in the Army, I was the editor of the monthly newspaper that went to all of the services actually in Washington, D.C., and after I was discharged, I worked as a civilian employee as an editor of the Army's monthly magazine, Soldiers. You mentioned about my trade association work. You know, the communications aspect was always very much a part of what I did when I worked for those associations, as well as the day-to-day operations. And most recently, I edited a quarterly newsletter for GlaxoSmithKline Consumer Healthcare. Do some volunteer work with the Red Cross, you know, reviewing their publications. I mean, it's just these things are just in my head. You know, call me a nitpicker, but you know, I strongly feel when it comes to business that a corporation needs to look as professional as possible in its communications with customers. You know, if you don't pay attention to typos and other errors, it's going to reflect poorly, I think, on other aspects of your business. You know, while a lot of readers ask me to stick to basics about total rewards, you know, the majority seems to enjoy seeing these glitches. They add a little levity to the newsletter. It's almost become a Where's Waldo kind of exercise, with people snapping pictures of signs or forwarding emails to me. You know, it's not that we're purposely looking for these mistakes. You know, they're just the reality. And frankly, I just think they happen too much with Caesars. I'm not looking at other casino companies or their businesses, but there do seem to be a lot. And a lot of them are pretty funny.
If you were an advantage player, that would be a useful skill to have. Reading the rules of various slot promotions and noticing how the rules this month are different than they were last month is a huge source of benefit for those players who are looking for it. And the people who do not read rules to promotions are giving up EV needlessly. So.
Well, you know, and also another good example of what you're saying, just to bring it to slot players, is with slot tournaments. If you don't look closely, you might see that you play on a certain day, and let's say you play at 5 o'clock and then you decide to go home. Well, if you don't read the fine print, many times you've got to be there physically at 11:30 that night to pick up your prize. So you could very well have won, you know, a significant prize in a slot tournament you've played in, but if you didn't look at the fine print and realize that it's, you know, you've got to be there later to claim it and have it given to you or instead of put into your account. So, yeah, it's very important to read those rules. It's just like the mandatory two-night stays with some of the offers out here in Las Vegas.
And elsewhere. There are other casinos with two-night stays. Okay, we're talking to Daryl McEwen, publisher of the Seven Stars newsletter. We're going to do a few commercials, and then we have some more comments for questions for Daryl. South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else has. This Thursday night will be the last of the weekly drawings where 25 people will win between $1,000 and $25,000. I think it's fair to tell you that Bonnie says it's her turn, so the rest of you should stay home. The promotion in October is called Swipe, Spin, and Win. Play 300 points each day and spin the virtual wheel. I've not played it this year, obviously, since it doesn't start for two more days. But last year, the awards ranged between 2,500 points, which is worth $7.50, and $50 in free play. I'll have a more complete list next week. The free video poker class tomorrow, Wednesday, September 30th, is double-double bonus quick quads. This is a 99.65% game with a 0.30 slot club. It is slightly negative 24/7, although you include the mailers and it's positive. On double point days, you have a 0.3 advantage. Next week, October 7th, is double-double bonus Ultimate X. This is a 99.8% game. Both of these weeks, there'll be one class only starting at noon, going till about 2:33 or till the last dog dies. The entire schedule of classes may be found at bobdancer.com. At the Palms, every Friday they have a drawing. 10 people earn a total of $10,000, with the top prize equal to $3,000. Multiple drawing entries occur Friday afternoons and also Friday evenings. You do not need to be there at the 7 o'clock drawing, but you need to claim your prize before midnight or it disappears. Every Saturday in October, 7 to 10 p.m., you receive double points for video poker, 10 times points for slots. Single points are worth 0.25%, so I'll let you do the math on the double points. PFP, play for prizes. The ones ending this Friday, October 2nd, you can earn fresh and easy gift cards. For the following 2 weeks, you may earn cards for Lowe's Home Improvement Stores. These cards may be earned and redeemed Monday through Friday, up to $190 each day at a rate of 0.20%. You keep your points. Since the double point days are on Saturday, and play for prizes is only Monday through Fridays, your play on the Saturday double point days does not qualify for the PFP. But you on the double points, you get 0.25 in free play rather than the 0.2 you would get on the gift cards. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play a lot of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, I get you correction on most of the games. It's one place to practice quick quads, for example, and get correction. You can get the strategy on in several places, but to get better, you generally need the correction. Most players have no idea how badly they play unless they get the correction. Every week they have a contest. This week it is split card poker. This is a brand new game. I'm not sure how many casinos it's at yet. It'll be debuting at the gaming show this week. And this costs 10 coins per line to play. It's a multiple line game, triple play, five play, or 10 play. And you play it in the normal way, except periodically on either the deal or the draw, you get a split card. A split card has two cards in one location. If the first card is a five of clubs, for example, the split will be either another five of clubs, the six of clubs, or the four of clubs. So those are one-third chances each. So if you hold that card, this greatly increases your chance for a flush or a straight flush.
Or trips or something, right? Because you have two fives of clubs.
Right, trips, four of a kinds. The highest paying rewards is five of a kind. That pays more than a royal. So for that, you have to get a pair of fives or a pair of nines or whatever on the deal or the draw. Now, how often it happens varies by game. Like if you got a pair of aces, that would be a lot more valuable in triple-double bonus than it would be in jacks or better. So I'm quite sure you get more of these split cards in jacks or better than you do in triple-double bonus. So the frequency of the split cards is judged by the pay schedules. So it's a new game. It's interesting. We'll see how that works out. All right. Next week, we're going to be talking to Max Rubin. And basically, we're going to be talking about what we saw at the gaming show.
Right.
So Max is a colorful guy.
Right. And I think we'll also be talking about the whole what I mentioned earlier about the whole increasing the hold, decreasing your customers.
Good.
So, yeah, it should be a good show.
All right, Daryl. We got about a minute to go. Let's say I have a $500 annual dinner I haven't cashed yet. But I also haven't cashed my level one diamond aspiration, which allows me $100 in food. Is it possible to combine these both into one meal?
Yes, but keep in mind that the Diamond Aspiration Level 1 benefit is actually a folio credit, also good for spa charges. So you need to use it in conjunction with a hotel stay. Then you simply use your $500 Seven Stars Appreciation Dinner certificates during your stay, you know, either all at one time or in lesser quantities. And just a little tip here, other than in Las Vegas, where you have to visit a Total Rewards Center to claim those coupons, you can look for a special kiosk in other parts of the country where you print one or more of your coupons. And again, just a word of caution, I wouldn't print them until you're going to use them, either individually or all at once. If you lose them, yeah, they can be replaced, but it can be time-consuming at best. And, you know, if you're planning to use it that evening, for instance, and all of a sudden, you know, you realize you don't have it because you printed it out 6 months ago and it got stuck in someplace else, you won't be able to get it.
All right. We've been talking to Daryl McEwen of SevenStarsInsider.com. Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Richard, we got about 30 seconds. How do people find out about our show?
Well, first, we welcome your questions. You can send them to us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com or facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge, or you can tweet them at me at RWM21. If you want the show delivered to you every week automatically as you sleep, you can sign up to do that at iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or at my site, richardmunchkin.com. You can find an archive of all the old shows at bobdancer.com.
Very good. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.
Been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.